Good morning. This is a continuation of the weekly business session. Today is Wednesday, January 18th. It is 10 a.m. Commissioner DeYoung and myself are here, and I'm sure Commissioner Morgan is on her way. We don't have an agenda specific for this, but we do have a number of items that I think we should probably talk about. So the first thing is whatever you want to talk about, Commissioner DeYoung.
Well, I think coming up, I had a gentleman in yesterday from the growers market, and he's going to, we're going to get him on a schedule so he can make a presentation
okay.
to the full board.
Yep.
Regarding the growers market at the corner of 5th, 4th, and F Street. And he has a situation that came up, and I think he's just looking, he's looking more to shore up his contingency plan than anything else.
Great.
If this particular thing happens, then he's gonna need a plan B.
Oh.
And so, and plan B does include, you know, the county. And I just suggested to him that he, and I gave him some things that I would like him to bring back to the full board so we can have full consideration.
Excellent.
And we'll schedule him for a later date, probably within the next, probably not in January, but early February.
Okay. Sounds great. Work with the ladies. Anything I need to do in preparation with Ryan,
or
you can reach
so.
Out to Ryan Johnson and say whatever you think we need to kind of lay out as far as these are available, and this is power and
right.
whatever
yeah,
kind of consideration.
I told him to bring back full requirements for what he needs
yeah.
to make sure that it'd be on site for the site that he wants
okay.
to you know, approach the board about. And, you know, just the logistics of what their needs are going to be. So if we decide to enter into an agreement, that we'll be ready for them. We'll know full scope of what that project is.
Let's ask Ryan Johnson to attend that meeting whenever we schedule it so
yeah.
that he knows the ins and outs about
right.
the facilities.
Right, and he may be able to, you know, address the concerns right there on the spot.
Yeah.
We'll put those two together
right.
and go from there. But I just thought I'd bring it to Mark's attention that it will be coming up.
That's great.
And I want to apologize for drawing a blank over the deal. I did visit the evidence locker yesterday and was very impressed with how things are. But I was also, while being impressed by the amount of stuff in there, I had great concern for the amount of stuff that's in there.
Yeah.
And it looked to me like, you know, now we need to. Because there's responsibility and liability that goes along with keeping that evidence
yeah.
for other jurisdictions and other organizations. There's a lot of state police stuff in there
okay.
and whatnot. And I had some real concerns leaving there yesterday.
I think Sheriff Daniels has given her the charge that we need to clean out.
Yes.
And
yes.
so that's how we're getting.
And we talked about auctions and how auctions work and that they were a lot of fun. Sheriff Daniels has a little different wrinkle on that
uh-huh.
that I think I found it quite exciting. I think it'll be even more fun. Okay.
So the one thing we didn't mention, it was briefly mentioned, I think, Commissioner Morgan, is the revenues are brought back to the county. There isn't a direct line of sight between the sheriff's office, what kind of revenues they generate, and their funds. It's important that I think there's that distinction. Previous sheriff has requested that we remove that line, and that will, I mean, as long as I'm on the board, I'm going to advocate the other way, because it can't be construed in the public's eye that you're not doing everything in your power to return this stuff that is rightfully mine when you've confiscated it to me because you want to generate some revenue. By selling my generator, my truck, my RV, or my rototiller, or whatever that's been confiscated. So it comes back here, and it's at the discretion of the board where we appropriate.
Well, I think Sheriff Daniels will probably have, he's got some ideas on how that should proceed. And because I asked him the very same question, do you get the money back? And he says, actually, no, it would be in the general fund. And, you know, then it's up to the board to just decide where that money
yeah.
goes. So,
yeah.
He's got a couple of ideas there, but I'll let him bring that to,
okay.
to us in a presentation.
Okay, excellent. State of Jefferson presentation we received yesterday, kind of talking about next steps. They've proposed language to Hick's office, and so we can take a look at that and see if it's something we're receptive to, if we need to tweak it at all. That's something we can do as well, or...
Are they just asking right now for a resolution from the board?
Of support,
including
yeah.
Gilstein County in their plans to move forward, and I understand Gilstein County would be the first Oregon county.
Yeah, and I don't imagine it will be the last that they've either, or the first that they've presented. Maybe the first that they've presented to, but we won't be the last. I'm pretty sure of that. So we've got that to figure out. Representative of the news media asked me my opinion on some things, since I said it wasn't the first time I'd heard the proposal. The likelihood that we see the creation of the state of Jefferson in my lifetime is remote. I look at endorsing the proposal as another way to attempt to get the state legislative leadership's attention. Unfortunately, it seems that only drastic action, like filing a lawsuit, is the only way to get their attention, and sometimes that doesn't even work. That's all I said. So.
Well, I think it, before the state of Jefferson would actually be ratified by everybody, there's a big leap.
Yeah.
There's an awful lot of, and you can better believe that Sacramento and Salem are not going to be, how can we help you with that?
Yeah.
I just can't imagine that.
So we can bring that back. We'll get you that proposed draft resolution, and then we'll follow it up with.
I'd like to read the proposal, have a little time to dwell on it, and then bring, because I'm sure we may have some other questions with the state of Jefferson group.
Is that okay with you, Commissioner Morgan?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that was the questions I had there, is kind of the next steps, and you know, with hearing it's not a binding resolution, it just allows the process to move forward, so next steps could be pursued down the road. That at least getting that started.
Is it clear the hierarchy of like the proclamation, a resolution, an order done by the board, an ordinance? Are those things?
You know, the order is the one that I'm not familiar with.
An order is an internal policy decision of the board that only governs like staff, procedures, those kinds of things. An ordinance is a law that is enforced and, you know, applies to everybody in Josephine County. And that's referable, all ordinances minus land use ordinances that govern specific properties, as we had that was a court decision on. But all general land use policy decisions are referable to the voters, like every other ordinance that we pass. Orders are not referable to the voters. They're only internal policies. They're challenged by people out there. You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do that. But those are things we decide and we enforce and we're in charge of. Resolutions are really policy positions of the governing body. We have a whole host of them on the books. We're opposed to any expansion or creation of monument designations or federal or state legislation that impacts the lands within Josephine County without our ability to coordinate on that issue prior to enactment. That's just a general resolution that we have out there. And then a proclamation is a lower element of, you know, we don't even necessarily endorse the element. It's just that we're recognition of an element. So that had never been explained to me for the first couple of years. I'm like, I don't understand the hierarchy. When is what and what is, you know, and once you do, it's very clear about what it should be. So anyway, I have on here, this is a goal from the previous board that I think is long overdue and really didn't get a lot of movement and traction. It's a PR proposal, and that's pretty vague. It doesn't really specify exactly how we do it. It's just the idea that we're going to be better about telling our story to just not just Josephine County, but to the world. Unfortunately, there's been a number of different things in the past that have told the Josephine County story for us, and we haven't balanced that out with, well, what you don't know are all these incredibly good things that we're doing. And I'm willing to lean into that a little bit. I think that, like a business, often they cut advertising when a restaurant isn't doing well and they have to, you know, tighten their belt. That long-term, you know, isn't working. ONC has done the same thing. We haven't been champions of that issue as an organization. We're changing that. We're unveiling a new website next week at our meeting on Friday, and hopefully, you know, doing that. We're also going to get in the queue of press releases on positive elements that the ONC Association Forest Management is doing. I think Josephine County needs to be doing something like that as well. I'm willing to say that we need to put some resources into that and have a codified strategy. Last year, I spoke to just one consultant in Josephine County that seems to know pretty well and doing pretty good work. Comes from a good background, working with Dutch Bros for a number of years, and geographically is really strategically located close to the courthouse for convenience sake. we've had a number of conversations, understands our issue and our plight, as the clients that they deal with are very similar, and had submitted a proposal, but just to me. And if he understands that if it isn't him, that's fine, but you need to outline what it is that you're looking for from somebody. I go back to the charge of the idea that you can't just assign this to a Sarah Wright of the world or parks manager or somebody else to say, can you just work harder and then do this on the other side, either our office, one of us. We're pulled in so many different directions. I've been working on those two press releases for a week. I can't seem to find the hour and a half time in my day to dedicate to getting them done. But I could certainly spend 10 minutes talking to somebody that says, oh, well, I can write that for you. Okay, well, then go write it. You know, bring it back and I'll edit it and we'll be done. That's my position, you know, for good or bad. That's just what I've learned over the years of being here. If you want something done, you're going to have to lean into it really hard and put somebody in charge of it who goes to bed thinking about it, wakes up in the morning, how can I do this better?
And it's somebody that knows what they're doing and what works outside this building. If you get inside this building for long enough, you're kind of
institutionalized
from the real world in a lot of ways. So you really have to. And one thing that I'm going to, I guess, push as a commissioner with the people that I'm liaison to is that we're all ambassadors. And when we have one guy in public works that makes a whole neighborhood mad because he has to work after a snow event, guess what? That transcends. And then where's the first opportunity for that person to flex their muscles? The public safety levy. They go, you know what, I'm not voting for that. Because it's the county, and they lump everybody into one thing.
Yeah.
And we're all ambassadors. I noticed when I was in business, and I had one guy, he had an attitude. And I called him in, gave him one shot to clear up his attitude, that he was representing my company, that which is my livelihood, way more so than the employee. It was my livelihood, and I said, you either straighten that out, and you either ride for the brand, or you won't, and you don't. And he didn't, so he was gone. But I couldn't have him tearing down the positive that so many people had spent time building up. And he had a bad attitude, and it showed. But he was an ambassador for my company, driving a company truck, had the company shirt on with the logo on the back. Guess what? He represented me, and that isn't what it isn't what Josephine County is about, because we're not that way. But I just. Like to make sure they instill that all employees know that what they say to people is going to stick, whether they like it or not. And if they treat people nicely, that's going to bode well when we want something or we need something. So I'm.
You bring up a really good point about the idea that managers, in my opinion, and this is the structure that I've understood, whereas CEOs, they work for us. They don't work for the constituents. That's our job. That all those who are elected are employed, hired and fired by the people we serve. So every manager that I've had interacting with, don't spend too much time with that challenging constituent, because every moment that you're doing that, you're not doing what I've asked you to do. Mm-hmm. So get that person to me as soon as possible.
Yep.
I'll get to the bottom of whatever it is that is usually, it isn't even the event that's precipitated with that manager's exchange. It's something cumulative effect of where they came from or other things that they've had, and they want to vent and they want somebody to talk to. That's me. That's my job. That's where I should be interacting. And I think that's what you guys feel the same way. Then that manager's freed up to do what I've asked them to do.
Unless they can deal with it in that same way we would.
Absolutely.
That they would deal with it, hear them out, get it done quickly. And if they, you know, seeing staff being impatient or putting somebody off. No. That's not doing what we've asked you. We've asked you to get the
then
best
you've
service.
Expended your time with that. Not a bad thing. Just move it on to the person. You know what? I'm going to let you talk to my boss.
Yeah,
he wants to hear from you.
Yeah,
she
I
wants
just,
to hear
I just
from
want
you.
It to be a standard operating procedure that you don't sit there out in the street and argue with somebody and then they're mad and then they come. Because we had a couple of them that called all the way to the top.
Yeah.
And you know what? After visiting for a little bit, you know, it was the lady was I was no longer that SOB. I was hun. And you know, okay, hun, have a good day. But we're going to work on it.
Definitely. So
it may have been something that couldn't have been handled out in the field. But I think that people in the field really need to know that when they open their mouth, they're representing the entire county.
Yeah.
And treat it that way.
Well, and we've had an issue with some staff saying, well, I represent the state. I have to do this on behalf of the state or the feds.
We have staff that do that.
And
that's their job.
And they do have to do functions in regards to the state,
yeah.
But they still work for us.
Yeah.
And that's the part that is key for me is we are public servants. We are not public overlords. You know, and that's a big deal to try to be true. I did have a question of something you mentioned earlier that you were going to bring up. So you brought up the PR.
What I was going to suggest is that maybe we work on a time, January, February, to bring that consultant in to just provide a presentation. I can get you theirs ahead of time. And we're not talking about a lot of money, but I think it's that person that can keep us on track. We'll be talking about this a year from now if we don't do something. And this may not be it, but I want to do something.
So I think that, you know, getting that public perception out there in a positive note, turning some of that around. So we only have to move the needle a little ways. I think that, and if the PR person knows how to present that to the public,
I think
that's valuable information. Their lungs, not real expensive, but those are investments. I had to do that in my business.
Yeah.
You know, and as you said, I went to an advertising seminar one time, and I thought, gosh, I am wasting my time. It was the best day that I ever spent, and it was. It was paid. My tuition was paid for by KJO Radio.
Mm.
And when I got all done, they came in and said, well, let's get you set up for 3 more months. And I said, you don't pencil. I said, you shouldn't have done that because it absolutely doesn't pencil. And I went through the numbers. I crunched the numbers and I said, can you promise me an additional $25,000 worth of new business in the next 3 months? Only off of those ads on your radio station. He says, I can't do that. I said, then you don't pencil.
Yeah.
And there's some of that, we call it proprietary stuff that you have to do all the time to keep your name out there. But the rest of it, it just didn't fly.
I think one of the things for me along those lines of moving the needle is the idea that the best time to have done this was probably 10 years ago. The second best time is today. I will say that 100 times.
Today is second best. Tomorrow, the long you take to get started on something like this, the longer it's going to take for it to catch hold out in the public.
Exactly.
And we don't have, I don't think we have time. We're right up against it.
We're behind the eight. Should have started 10
years ago.
Yeah. I'll schedule something like that. What do you have?
Well, we had been forwarded an email you sent to staff. 2017, a new year, was the subject line.
Yeah.
And it was related to staff management team coordinating with their liaison. A final or updated list on their was attached as far as who your liaison is. What are your program department office goals for 2017? Before the end of January, we're going to compile this comprehensive list. I heard immediately, actually I heard from one of my departments before I got this from Wendy, saying I have it, I'll get you Tuesday. Haven't received any of them. Is there a time frame? Should we be meeting
That's
one
up
on
to
one?
You.
Okay.
That's up to you guys to facilitate.
I didn't know if you had put to them a requirement of what they're getting to us.
No, and for me it isn't necessarily comprehensive. I don't want to know that you're going to change the toilet paper twice. It's the bigger, broader goals. What are the major projects that you're going to be working on this year? I know in planning they're working on a new software system to facilitate, you know, their records and all that sort of thing. I've been working on that since I got here. But they're going to do it this year. So it's in the queue. That kind of stuff I would like that we all know. Oh, that's right. When it comes forward in June for a proposal, we heard about that in January. The deadline isn't hard and fast. A lot of times in my understanding, I like to put deadlines out there that sometimes are unachievable. But if you put it where it's convenient and comfortable, that's too far. You know, it needs to be yesterday. Get it to me then. That's probably why some of them have sent it in right away. It isn't done when they send it to you. That's the beginning. What do you have that you want them to work on? That's the coordinated effort. And it can take place over the phone. It doesn't have to be an in-person meeting. It could be that you have to go out to Public Works to understand what they're talking about to convert their fleet to natural gas, if that's what they were going to do. I was just shooting for the end of the month. If that was doable, great. If it isn't, we'll get it.
Well, with us going to
County College for
going to school and stuff, and a couple of other things that are going on, we have a Monday out in Cave Junction meet and greet type thing. So,
that's a
if
good.
If we don't hit the end of January, we're okay. We can push that out a couple of weeks and go.
It's our schedule. The same thing with these reviews of the committee appointments. I personally say, you know, it's your liaisonship. You guide that ship. We set deadlines internally to try to keep the ball moving, but ultimately you set the deadline. So just keep that in mind. But if you could, you know, break down that list, it's not terribly unachievable, but if it doesn't happen...
I visited with Sheriff Sanders yesterday on a couple of different cases, and I said, you know, don't bring me your goal as stable public safety funding. That's on everybody's bulletin board.
Yeah.
That is not a goal for me. That's just, you know, that'll happen,
and
we have to make that happen. But it's not a goal to make that happen.
That's our goal.
That's our goal.
Yeah.
To make that happen. You know, board-wise, we all understand it. We get it. But I'm looking at something more pointed right towards your department of what you want to do and what your goal is.
So they're going to review the camera system
and
stuff, the intercom. That's great. I'm looking at, like, we're gonna move evidence to the
exactly. That was one
jail campus.
I said, you have to be, well, you know, we're having, I said, you need to do the research on that. What are your requirements? Where do you want to put it?
Yep.
What is it going to be a metal building that's not heated?
Yeah.
So on and so forth. And, you know, I got to have some of this stuff has to remain room temperature. That's what I want to know. So we can get some kind of idea of what it costs, and I said, and it's just a guess right now, but you are in queue now for that.
Yeah.
And
if you don't write it down, it's not going to happen.
Exactly. And I said, and just like the Middle World MPO, Gold Hill, you know, they've got some projects over there that are fantastic.
Yeah.
They fit right down the line of what the Metropolitan Plan Organization is all about. They don't have a master transportation plan, so guess what? They're not eligible.
Wow.
And I says, if you don't, and I did with it broke my heart to tell him, I'm sorry, Mayor, but we can't do that.
Yeah.
And the same thing goes here, you know, that they need to have a plan, and with that plan, then it legitimizes that project.
Yeah.
And says, you know, we put all the research into it, this is what we really need. And then, you know, some of it might, you know, we can only heat half that warehouse, so you're going to have some petition here, whatever. But that's the things that we need to decide. And if it's not started, and I said, give an idea when you want that done.
I want you to give some thought to the state of the county address. Historically, we've really left it up to the chair to present, but I don't need to. I can talk for 4 hours about the county ad hoc right now. I don't need to do that. Nobody wants to hear that. I think they want to definitely...
That'd be interesting. See if he could do it. Should we challenge him?
I do it almost...
You challenge him. You stick around.
Yeah, right? Nobody wants to hear that.
You, official timer.
Is there subject matter that would be relevant to the realtors that you guys would like to cover that, you know, that are like maybe goals for 2017? I'd like you to do a pretty brief introduction on who you are, where you come from, and why are you here as a commissioner relative to maybe the realtors.
Can we find out from the realtors what kind of timeline we have? You're going to say, okay, you got 10 minutes.
I'm going to sit down with Gerard maybe tomorrow for coffee
we split up the first 4 minutes, 2 minutes introduction or 3 minutes introduction.
But I say we have a half an hour.
I'm okay with you doing that. I mean, you can the short introduction with us, we aren't...
We just spent
13 months talking about the state of the county in a campaign. That's not necessarily from the realtor standpoint, but from what I can see, that is our biggest issue is capacity. We cannot, people are buying above asking price because the competition is so high. The market is inundated with, I'm curious where they're at with how many bank-owned properties are just sitting there stagnant and not moving the market. As far as rental properties, it seems like we have a higher amount of people in the rental market than we do in ownership anymore. And just kind of where is this affecting them? Are there different areas that are more affected? Like I'm understanding that the rural areas of Illinois Valley and Williams are being bought up by out-of-state buyers. And to me, that's a legislative issue that should potentially be reminded to Representative Carl Wilson with the Measure 91. Originally was meant to have a two-year hold or residency requirement that you had to live and work for 2 years before you could buy property to grow marijuana. And unfortunately, the local...
It's not enforceable, though. That's the problem. How do you enforce that?
They don't issue the licenses. If you haven't resided in Oregon for 2 years, they do not issue the recreational license. Or, you know, and that's how they enforce that. But it's affected a boom of real estate in one industry, but in Cave Junction, can you even sell a house in the city limits? And so, you know, how is this affecting them? And how can we be a partnership for them to help? Obviously, public safety is a number one thing, but the economy that goes hand in hand with that, the catch-22 of without public safety, are you recruiting the businesses? Without the businesses, you can't pay for public safety, this kind of conundrum of cycle.
Yeah, the other misnomer is that you can somehow build your way out of our fiscal challenge. So there's no way at the ratio of capturing revenue at 7.9% of all taxes that you can provide services that really need a 25% revenue capture or something like that. I don't know what that number is. I know that it's $2.57 is what the 2006 task force of the governor's office found. The average county in Oregon collects $2.55. But yeah, so it's 7.58 a thousand. You can't build your way out of this. We need 3,000 rough and readies. That would require a lot more services. So, but I think those kinds of issues are definitely going to be paramount to what the realtors. I'll talk to Gerard, see what he wants to hear, and figure out how there's a way to kind of spread that out so it's not just me. I've asked maybe Julie Schmelzer to see if she would be available during that day to talk about some of the agenda items that are coming through community development in the future, the strategic economic development plan, the regional pilot project. I was the liaison and the only board member for the whole thing. I'll talk about what we got out of that, what we didn't, and how it dispelled some misnomers in Josephine County about developable properties. We have quite a portfolio, more so than Jackson and Douglas County, almost combined, of properties that can be developed. Zoning and all that stuff just haven't been. So we'll cover some of the salient points and things.
Yeah, that is something that, from the Urban Growth Boundary expansion, we talked about industrial lands or commercial lands available.
Yeah.
But Director Schmelzer said several times the other day, we don't have any.
Yeah, that's not true. And she's saying we don't have any shovel-ready properties. We have an entire industrial park in Ivy that is just looking for a fire suppression ladder system to house the water retention. The system's in, pumps there, everything, well to feed it, all that stuff. We don't have the infrastructure in the North Valley to facilitate about 20 acres of developable property that's partially inside, partially outside the industrial campus. That's 20 acres. We don't have, the 150 acres that some counties do that's shovel-ready white cities of the world. No, we don't have that. Ours is a smaller footprint. I think that's what Josephine County wants. They don't necessarily want something that's that big.
I'm not looking for Toyota to put in a manufacturing plant out here and hire 700 employees because we don't have 700 employees in our workforce. I think we have a workforce problem more than a job problem in South Florida.
We have a workforce problem, but they're related. The kids that go off to college or go off to the military and they go find jobs otherwise because there's nothing to come back to. I was in the same boat. I came back to law enforcement because that was the door that was open. But what else is there a draw? Dollar General just went in and they had trouble hiring, like you're saying. But where's the family jobs? Where's the doctor's offices are recruiting doctors and they say, well, the spouse can't find a job that's in their market. So we're losing on that. So I think they're both hand in hand that the workforce recruitment, because we don't have the jobs to sustain, and we don't have the jobs to sustain, so the workforce is leaving.
Well, I had a conversation with Brandon from Rural Community College, and, Brandon, I said, and I'll just give you my own background. I didn't go to college. And guess what? I made a really good living. I think I've done very well for being graduated from high school and going into the construction industry. Mm-hmm. That does not require, the construction industry requires a strong back and the ability to put things together. I'm talking to a plumber. You go hire a plumber nowadays. See who's knocking down the money.
I think
making really good money out of that. And those are trades that anybody can get involved in without a college education. And you come out of being, well, you all done with your plumber, not necessarily apprenticeship, but you're on the job training, if you will. You get all done with that, you're starting to earn a living, and you don't owe $48,000 in student loans or $55,000 in student loans, which that student loan debt really compromises you to go buy a house. You know why? Because you got too much debt load. Your ability to repay isn't there yet. So, you know, there's an awful lot to, I need an education, 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 and if you're not educated, I don't want to talk to you. That doesn't fly with me because there's plenty of jobs available in the construction industry, especially now. And I'm waiting for us. When do we figure out that we're not the poorest county? We had a little discussion about this yesterday at the luncheon. And we, after listening to Eve talk about the people that pay their property taxes in cash and the cash to the guy behind the bank, that I was had bags full of cash. And everybody says, yeah, well, you know, we don't make any money. Well, we don't make any money on tax returns, but boy, there's a lot of money here that just I don't think gets declared. And I'm wondering when we are going to, as a community, instead of saying that we're down and out and we're the poorest in the nation and you're going to take my home away from me, when are you going to start looking at what is around here? Because we've really got some nice stuff going on here. And there are jobs available, but they may not. And you say, you know, I'm going to come back from college, and they're, you know what? At college, they taught my daughter, you don't want to go back to Grass Pass. You know where she ended up? Restaurant manager at the Disneyland Hotel. Can she get a job like that around here? No. Do I fault here because of that? No, I don't. I don't fault here because of that. That's what your expectation is.
Mm-hmm.
And she could have come back here and been the representative for Tapwalk, for all I know. And yeah, probably wouldn't pay what that Disneyland pays, but their cost of living is completely different. So I kind of have an issue, you know, with what we're doing around here.
I'm not all about it. To me, education, and one of the things that RCC offers is trade skills.
I think so. This is a great conversation.
For another day in our goal setting.
Maybe.
I was wondering what this is about.
We used to do this. We used to go through everybody's calendar as an opportunity to coordinate and say, well, I'm doing this, or you doing that, and somebody's covering. We don't have those events, the fire banquet on here. Maybe that's happening later on in the month. And the Chamber of Commerce dinner.
Those are both the 28th. Saturday the 28th.
Okay.
I don't know if any of us got RSVP'd. Chamber, I don't know how that works as far as the county liaison going. For Dan was going to go to that one. I was going to go to Ivy Fire. And I know they emailed the BCC about getting an RSVP, but I don't know if that had happened.
We'll make sure that both of those have been RSVP'd today.
And then the CASA was the other one.
At the luncheon?
You had mentioned the CASA
something,
and I didn't know when that was.
Let's coordinate that. I'll go to the CASA as well. I'm not liaison anymore. Lily is, but I'd like to go. So that one needs to be noticed. That's why we do this, is because it should be noticed if there's a quorum of the board in the room. If I go to the chamber of the fire one, we'll advertise that. I just haven't decided yet.
Okay. And I didn't know when the CASA one even was. I never heard
it. It's on my email. I'll figure it out.
So there is a meeting. Can you talk about the quarterly Cave Junction, Illinois Valley?
Yeah, I won't be here for that. So that'll be something you guys can help. So Mayor, do they have a new mayor?
Yeah, they do have a new mayor.
It's Dan Delegowski. So what typically happens is it's a county meeting that we interact with the city council and the mayor for the first half hour, and then you just open it up for a general town hall. Sometimes we present kind of what's the hot topic of the board. I imagine it'll be the hearing, the text amendment hearing on marijuana regulations. Kind of what I said over there, this is just a template to move forward with some direction to try to achieve, you know, the challenges that we're mitigating, the challenges that we have. We're wanting to get it done soon so that the growers understand before they put plants in the ground, this is what we're expecting of it. But really, everything's on the table, you know, just trying to improve it. And Ms. Meltzer's provided something of a template, a starting point. But it doesn't mean that everything verbatim is what she's presented is what we're going to approve. We may not approve any of it. We may approve all of it. We may approve some of it. So it's too early to tell. That's what I would say. Anything else?
Is this public or?
Our schedules are public documents. You have to request them, but at any point,
we can.
Everything we have, everything associated with our job, is a public document.
Okay.
Or can be at some point if somebody requests it. I don't think anybody's ever really. There have been people who've asked for our schedules, but not very often. It doesn't mean you can't put personal things on there. It's just you got to be comfortable with somebody knowing when your wife's anniversary or so-and-so's birthday is.
Yeah, I have those all on my calendar, so I might have to clean her up.
That's all it is. I'm sure there's something I'm missing, but Dan, Regional Solutions is scheduled for this Thursday. You're going to be gone. I'll go to that.
Okay.
That takes an appointment, a reappointment for us to switch that off, but I'll make that known when I jump over there if it's still on Thursday. So,
okay.
Anything else we missed?
I do have a question.
Tuesday.
With the upcoming hearings and such, it seems that if they were taken in parts, then some of the concerns would maybe not be. And there's some rationale to that. Is there any reason we can't say, I only want to deal with this portion right now, and why continue with the others? Or do we have to continue with all of them together?
No, we can break it up any way you like. Just typically, we can't discuss the merits of a land use hearing unless it's been advertised. It's really special because it's appealable to the Land Use Board of Appeals, and we're compiling a record of the discussion, deliberation to a decision of a land use issue. So, you know, we can discuss the administrative elements of when and time, date and stuff, but starting to get down into the, well, there's merits to why you would suggest what you're suggesting. That can be done over at the Ambassador when we have the land use hearing. So, yeah, we can definitely do that.
Okay.
But read the proposed text amendment first and then dissect and say, I'd like to take everything after page 30 or whatever, you know, at a separate hearing.
Okay.
We're just going to focus at this. Sorry that you're catching this halfway, you know, but on exchange.
What you're trying to suggest is that there are certain parts of it that people would agree with. Or not agree with?
I don't know if they'd agree or not agree. I think that some of it is maybe not related to the others. So let's deal with this one, then let's deal with this one, then let's deal with this one, and potentially...
You're just splitting out the different concerns.
Correct. Is the potential that I would... And also we got a memo as to what format the hearings and the wording need to be. Are we in line with that, or does it need to change as well, would be the concern, is just making sure we're following the right protocol.
Mm-hmm.
Are we putting apples and oranges together, or should we separate them out so we're not ruining the whole bunch?
Yeah. We can talk about that one specific, that memo, in executive session, maybe not today, but soon.
Okay.
Thank you for your indulgence on continuing the weekly business session over here under other item 5 under agenda, because we just didn't have a capacity to kind of have this exchange otherwise, and I think we needed one before because we're not going to see each other until next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
So good luck at County College. Hopefully it goes well. It's Corvallis. It's probably going to be raining, so it's just the way it is. I'll be in Bend Monday night, Tuesday morning for the Governor's Western Governors Association Roundtable on Forest Management discussion, and then I'll be back Tuesday as early as I possibly can.
So for matters from the last item on the agenda, matters from commissioners, just as it was at the LIPSIC meeting last week, Sheriff is the chair of that meeting. We've asked that a letter be drafted to send our representatives, just basically saying, would you reconsider the allotment of the tax dollars for those counties affected by growing? Because right now it's only retail-based. And so our LIPSIC coordinator is collecting data from a couple of various sources of kind of how it's impacting us.
Yeah.
So that letter can be drafted. I also contacted Representative Wilson's chief of staff to give a heads up that letter would be potentially coming. And she provided a documentation of a proposal Representative Wilson's already submitted to the same effect. So I'm hoping to get that back out to the LIPSIC folks. So I think it's good that we're getting our voice at the table and saying that. the request back from them is saying, show up at these hearings and testify, and don't just let it be that we request it and there's no backing and support. So that was kind of the report from that committee last week.
Okay. Yeah, it's really interesting. We don't have the resources necessarily to just send a deluge of people up there every time there's a conversation about this redistribution of funds. But at the same time, if it's the squeaky wheel who gets the grease, and if you don't show up, you're not going to get it. What's the bang for the buck? Or is it possible to pry Multnomah County free, Clackamas, of this revenue stream that they're now enjoying? I don't know. And my sense is once they figure out that it's already spent, they figured out a way to spend it, and you know they've got the majority of the legislators. I don't see how you get that changed. That should have been done in the 91 Implementation Committee. It should have been done in the legislation. It should have been done someplace, but
I think one thing that's come to light, and one of the ways that you, I don't know, get your point across, is the fact that we grow the very best that there is. I mean, Gulfstream Jackson County is renowned for its quality of cannabis. And so competition-wise, we're not in competition with Lake County or Mount Your County or anybody else for that matter. We have to start, I can't say taking some pride in our products, but at least we need to tell everybody what our product's all about. In my business, it was paramount for me. I got up every morning taking care of my supplier. Because if my supplier was not healthy, I'm not healthy. I don't have the product to sell. And that's maybe where how we should approach the state, is that we have the very best product, and if you want that very best product to go to you instead of somewhere else, you need to give us some recognition from that, and you can do it by redistribution of those tax dollars.
Well, and it always usually comes back to numbers. So one of the numbers that our prevention specialist, Sean Martinez, provided is that Josephine and Jackson County registered recreational grows represent one-third of registered grows in the state.
Wow.
And the rest of them are indoors. Most of those are indoors, I would imagine.
So the fact that we can put numbers to, we represent in two counties one-third of registered grows in the state, where's the compensation that two small counties are taking on that burden?
That's crazy.
When I talked to Betsy Johnson in the parking lot after the RBAC meeting, one of the things I brought up to her, I said, you know, you don't have to put up with it. Well, Noma County, you have all indoor grows up there, so you don't really have to put up with them. The gunfire in the middle of the night, the barking dogs. You know, you do have to have the lights, but the smell and everything else in close proximity to residential. You don't have that. And I said, we do have that. It's just kind of like the whiskey growers back in Kentucky. They're all in a distillery, but, you know, when it was all, your big thing was moonshiner. You didn't want to have that because it was going to burn the house down you were in and the house next door and so on and so forth. We're in basically the same thing, but we are the producers in Southern Oregon, and we're the producers of a large amount of what your product is that you sell in your dispensary to get that money, and yet you're not taking care of your supplier. You're completely ignoring the building that your supplier is in, and you can't do that. You can do that, but in the end run, it'll backfire on you. Take care of your supplier.
We have a general discussion on Tuesday. It's covering a number of topics, and there's a really good chance I'm not here for that Tuesday discussion, right? Aren't I still on? Stay Monday night, come back Tuesday.
Next.
Midday. I think all those you guys can handle. You've got a public hearing on the formation of the Josephine County Library. It's the first reading, I think, of that. Technically, I think that should be done at the weekly business session. But
I agree. If it's a first reading, it shouldn't be on a general discussion.
It's a hearing in a capacity. It's not just a general discussion. Are you guys still in favor of going forward? The previous board has elected to move that to this board, considering the timeline to forming a district required action back in December before you took office. And so they've just started the ball. You really need to figure out whether or not you want to continue to move that forward or not.
Okay, so we would just be listening to whether or not we want to continue it forward.
I don't know what that hearing is.
Do they want to put this on the May ballot?
That's the way.
So what's the deadline?
It's already passed. Yeah. So they proposed it. They've gotten it signed off by the two incorporated cities, and it's moving forward. Okay. So they've met the deadline. Everything's good for that.
Okay.
I had a last ditch effort for a district proposal for our jail facility and our juvenile detention, that was not endorsed by the previous board. And so it did not make the deadline. So forming a district for that purpose is not possible at this point. I think what that is, I hope what that is just a general discussion, talking to you about this issue, preparing you for the hearing for the first and second reading to refer that to the voters. If it isn't, it should be.
Correct. Okay.
Because I think the hearing element of a weekly business style, we do all of our hearings over there. This room is not conducive to facilitating a hearing on any magnitude. Maybe this library district won't be controversial, but that's inappropriate. Actually, under meeting law, you have a venue that facilitates the type of subject matter you're talking about. We did the UGB out at the fairgrounds. We do hearings over there. Sometimes that is out of capacity. So anyway, one of those things. We'll work it out. It's a good thing we reviewed this. That's why I think it's important that the previous board didn't do that. The board before that did, and the board before that did. I think it's a good idea. So if you guys don't mind, we'll keep going. Anything else for the good of the org? If not, we are adjourned at 10:46.